Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies joining us this morning. Welcome, welcome.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good. What's happening?
not too much. Just catching up on some of your other interviews, and you've had a pretty busy week.
always interesting.
Always interesting.
I see your one thing you want to address certainly is this water issue. A lot of unpaid or delinquent bills, Derek.
Yeah, we've really been pushing that out, and I think I'm not sure we still have funds available to help pay people's water bills. And when the pandemic first started, we suspended any water utility shutoffs and put those into abeyance until indefinitely, actually. So we've had during the pandemic, we don't want to cut anyone's water off. We want people to have access to potable water for cleanliness as well. So we have had a large number of people that haven't been able to pay or, stopped paying. And part of some of the CDBG funds, CDBG-CV funds that we've used have been to help alleviate some of that stress and help pay some of those water bills for people that have been negatively affected by COVID. So part of the problem, however, is that people, for whatever reason, whether they're just not don't understand that those funds are available or have some concerns that they would have to repay those funds for whatever reason, haven't taken advantage of that opportunity. So we're trying to spread the word that we have funds available for those that need it. And people can contact a community action agency and get access to some of those funds while they still exist. It's first come, first serve. And, we want to help people pay their water bills. That helps our water utility itself stay solvent, and then helps people, a little bit easier to get back on their feet and use some of that limited resources that they may have because they've lost their job or had reduced hours at work, use what funds they have on other basic needs.
Yeah, you say first come, first serve. Is that people can't just line up and get their bill paid, right?
They have to call down to Community Action Agency. They take their bill through there, they have to show that they've been negatively impacted by COVID as part of our the funds that we have to use through HUD for that purpose. So there's some upfront work to be done, but it's money that's intended to be used to help pay people's water bills. So in essence, there's going to be a lot of people that qualify in the city of Jackson for sure.
How's your COVID commission going?
The Protect Michigan Commission is going well. I'm actually on the Workforce Development Committee, subcommittee as well, just getting information out across the state. A lot of it is, they understand what's necessary, what they need to do. I've listened to others that are, Senator Shirky in particular, that keeps talking about fear and control and how it's disrupting people's lives. I think that's the farthest from the truth. What I've seen from the Whitmer administration and from the Protect Michigan Commission, that it's a vast bipartisan effort that includes employer organizations, employee organizations, people from all over the state, trying to figure out how we can get more vaccines into arms, and how we can, in doing so, restart our economy, reinvigorate our economy from some of these policies that have been a bit disruptive, but have been saving lives. And that's been played out and shown in the studies that have existed since the pandemic first started. Michigan's done an incredible job in helping to protect its citizens. That's been, I think, because of the leadership and bold actions of the governor. And I think that, you know, this step of working to get more vaccines available, one, and then more people taking that vaccine, too, has been a large effort and is something that's going to continue, and one of the biggest priorities that we have this year, and one of the best things that we can do to get things back to some degree of normalcy.
Do we need a better way of lining people up to get this done?
Yeah, well, I think they're working on that. And, you know, that's one of the main frustrations that I've had is that, you know, we have such a decentralized healthcare system in our country that you would think that there would be, when all of this first started, they would have had the foresight in the federal government to figure out how that distribution works. I think that was one of the biggest failings is now we have this decentralized system of first and foremost where people go to sign up to get a vaccine,
right.
And trying to figure that out outside of just going to the local health department and what pharmacies have it and stuff. So, you know, having because it's that the vaccines are bought and paid for by the federal government, one would think that they would have some sort of centralized place for people to go to schedule a vaccine at, you know, a location that's convenient to them and have all of those on a centralized site. But the Protect Michigan Commission and the state of Michigan has some pretty good information available on its website. I think, you know, again, Michigan's trying to do and the governor is trying to do what they can to pick up the pieces since we've, you know, kind of been behind the eight ball at the federal level for over the last year.
The people that in that scenario that always take the hit are the economically challenged. Some of those might not even have a doctor. You know, they're kind of left twisting in the wind.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest concerns that we've had, which is why I've pushed to have more of the vaccine also coming out to local county health departments, because at the local level, we can continue to make sure that that vaccine is getting into some of the most vulnerable populations and some of the most economically challenged areas of our communities. And instead of just going to some of the big box stores, big pharmacies, and things like that that aren't necessarily equitably placed across Jackson County. So, you know, putting some of the vaccine at, continuing to put some of the vaccine at the local county health department allows us to work with RASHME and figure out how we can deploy it into some of the areas on the south side and where we do it once we're at a capacity to do vaccination at a massive level.
Right. How's the Our Town Food Project going?
You know, I was there the first day. I plan on going back later this week.
When it warms up? You mean when it warms up?
Yeah, it is. It has been cold. My daughter's been interested in getting out in the foot of snow, and so we got bundled up yesterday and headed outside. But it's certainly cold, but that hasn't stopped people from getting out to partake in the Our Town meal distribution program. And, you know, a lot of that is the city staff and Consumers Energy volunteers and others that have shown up to help pass out food over the course of the last few weeks. It's been incredible. You know, the second day, I think I was there the first day. The second day at 5 o'clock, just an hour after they started, they ran out. So
wow,
it's been you know, 1,200 boxes within an hour is a good, you know, they're moving at a good click. So it's been incredible. You know, I think it shows the incredible need that we have, and so we're going to continue to do it, and hopefully can expand it over a longer duration. We're still working with the Jackson County United Way on distribution of basic needs out of the out of our previous operation that moved from the Booth Center. So there's still a tremendous amount of need here, tremendous amount of economic I think injury because of the pandemic of a variety of different workers. So we're trying to accommodate for that and make sure that people have some of their basic needs met.
You did not sell the Hayes building yet.
We didn't sell the Hayes yet. We're working on some of the property behind the Hayes there in that green space along Blackman and Louis Glick on some development projects there that if we can, I think the intent is if we can get that property to go, get some new developments going up there, that'll incentivize the bonding for a new parking structure downtown behind the Hayes, which will help make the Hayes project go a lot easier because there'll be ample parking for that sort of a project there. So I think there's on the other side of our development agency working on a pro forma and working on a pitch deck, I think is it's getting closer. You know, COVID and the pandemic have really put a wrench in a lot of different projects downtown. You know, we've had a lot of different projects continue to move forward, but you know, the Hayes is such a tough nut to crack. But you know, we have time. The building's still standing. It's being preserved and heated, and I think that, you know, hopefully this year we'll have some more good news coming out of it.
Didn't hear from the Attorney General?
No, didn't hear from Attorney General Nestle yet.
Okay.
So still waiting on a call.
Got to check on that. See if you make it in MERS today.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Thanks, Derek.
Hey, thanks, Greg.
Take
Appreciate
care.
It.